So yesterday we left Membet. We ended with a discussion of what happens when you have a machlok in the Mishnah or a stamishnah. How do we pass an halacha? And they say that when there's a stamishnah, so halacha follows that stamishnah. That is what Rabbi Abba told Rabbi Nachum. Fine. So the dialogue continues on our daf. Mem gimel off at the top. Amar le hatnan. But the Mishnah says, masrik shel pishtam shenitlu shinav. If you have a comb for flax and the teeth of the comb were removed, v'nishteru bo shtayim t'mot. So if it still has two teeth, it can still comb, it still serves this function, and therefore it can still receive tuma. Vechatz tura, but if it only has one tooth left, then it no longer receives tuma. The rule with tuma is that any tool or vessel that can still fill its function and it's not broken can receive tuma. Once it's broken, it can no longer fill its function, so it can no longer receive tuma. Fine, so the mission continues. V'kulam shenitlu achat achat b'fnei atzman tmeot. Any individual tooth that now has the use is tameh. Shel tzemer, but a comb for wool, shenitlu shenav, achat b'fnei tahor. So if every other tooth was removed, it's tahor. Nishtiru b'shosh b'gam achat tameh. If there's a spot where there are three in a row, then it can still comb, so it still receives tuma. Hayta chitzona achat mehem tahor. But if those three are three at the edge, and one of the three is the outer tooth, then since that one is actually impractical for use, then it's still considered a broken comb and does not receive tuma. If you take two and turn them into tweezers, then they now have a function and they can receive tuma. And if you take a single tooth and you use it for cleaning out a lamp or stretching ropes, then it has a use and therefore it's tameh. Okay, so that's the Mishnah. And we know that the halacha does not follow this Mishnah. So that would seem to contradict the rule that all stamishnayot with no disputes are the halacha. So Rabbi Bar responded, that Mishnah is an exception to the rule. Because both Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shlakish agreed and said, this Mishnah is not a Mishnah. My Tama, what's wrong with this Mishnah? Why do we not follow? Why is this Mishnah not a halacha? It has an internal contradiction. Because on the one hand, the end of the Mishnah said, regarding a comb for wool, that if every other tooth is removed, then it's tahor. Which means that if there are two in a row, then it can still receive tuma. But then the Mishnah says that if there are three teeth in a row, it's tameh. Implying that if there are only two in a row, it would be tahor. So there's an internal contradiction regarding the comb for wool. So the Gemara explains it's actually not a contradiction. My kushia, why is that a problem? You can explain it's a difference between the middle and the sides. Then in the middle, since you have more control over the comb there, because that's what you're holding it, then if there's two in a row, then it's tameh. But edges, we have less control, so only if there are three in a row, is it tameh. Not the most outermost tooth, which you said is relevant, but the sides, just not the middle. So that's not a contradiction. So there's a different contradiction in the Mishnah. Because in the ratio of the Mishnah, it said any individual tooth is tameh. Even if you don't do any special preparation, then the end of it says, if you have an individual tooth that you prepare and set aside for cleaning lamps or stretching, then it's tameh, meaning that if you hadn't prepared it, then it's not tameh. So there's another internal contradiction in the Mishnah. That's also not a contradiction. It depends. Was the tooth broken off with part of the comb, with part of its base, so it has a use, even without fixing it up? Then it receives tuma immediately. If it broke off without part of the base, so you have to fix it up and prepare it before it receives tuma. Amar Papa Makushia, Avra Papa has a different explanation for the seeming contradiction. Din mahava katin ta ba'alimta, a small tooth does not needs preparation before it receives tuma, but a large tooth does not. So far the Mishnah has no problems. So the reason this Mishnah is not halacha is because the Davkane, the people who recited Mishnah in a precise fashion, would say at the end of the Mishnah that this is according to Rabbi Shimon. So this Mishnah is not Stam, it's not an unattributed opinion, it's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, and therefore it's not the halacha. Fine. Going back to the topic of the last few pages of getting married after 3 months. So, Shalacha B'chir Barabin, Me'arsin Toch Shosha, women can get engaged within 3 months, like the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, that for engagement, you don't have to wait 3 months, only for marriage. V'chein Osim Maseh, and that's what we do l'alacha. V'chein Rabbi Elazar Ben Avdeinu, M'shum Baruch Hinayin Gadol, Rubo Shel Rishon, Rubo Shel Shlishi, V'emtzei Shalem. So the different opinion is, you have to wait 3 months, but not a full 3 months. You can wait, the middle month has to be a full month, but you can wait the majority of the first and the majority of the third. You don't have to wait a full 3 months. A Meimar Shachalas Bim Tishim. So a Meimar did require waiting 3 months, but he said the last day, the 90th day, the last day of the third month, you can already get engaged. Ravashi asked, but according to Rav and Shmuel, you need to wait 3 months, not including the day of the death, and not including the day of the engagement. So you can't get engaged on the 90th day, you have to get engaged on the 91st day. So my answer is, Hulinyan miniket itmar. That statement was not said regarding getting engaged of 3 months, it was said regarding the halacha that you can't marry a nursing woman. Right, we said for a nursing woman, you have to wait 2 months since the baby is born. And Rav and Shmuel said, that's not including the day he's born and not including the day of the engagement. So regarding that halacha of, regarding that waiting period, the engagement day is after the period. But regarding the 3 months of before you get engaged, then you can already get engaged on the last day, according to a Meimar. So when I ask, v'ha'hu davat sodat erusin b'yom tishim, but there's a person who did a feast in honor of engagement on the 90th day since the divorce or death of a previous husband, v'afsdei rav sudat day, and Rava forced him to lose his meal. So clearly Rava thought there was a problem getting engaged on the 90th day. My answer is, ha'hu sudat nisuin have, that story was not talking about erusin at all, it was about marriage. Getting married on the 90th day is a problem. Getting engaged on the 90th day is not. Behirta la halacha we say, צריכה להמתין כפתה לדחות יש חוץ מיום שנולד בו, חוץ מיום שנצא בו, צריכה להמתין 6 חודשים, חוץ מיום שמת בו, חוץ מיום שנתרסה בו. So contrary to all these opinions we just saw, the halacha is, you have to wait a full 3 months and a full 24 months if it's a nursing woman, and the engagement has to happen only after that full period. Fine. So the last line of the Mishnah was Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi said, women can get engaged immediately, they don't have to wait 3 months, except for a almana, a widow who has to wait 30 days because of avilut before she can get engaged. So the Gemara asks on this statement, Amav chizda kal v'chomer. We can contradict, it seems to be contradict a kal v'chomer. Uma b'mokom shesu lo chabes mutar la'aris. There's a situation where you're not allowed to launder clothes, but you are allowed to get engaged. B'mokom shesu mutar l'chabes nodin shmutar la'aris. So kal v'chomer, where you are allowed to launder clothes, you should be allowed to get engaged. Mayhi, what is Rav Chisda referring to? Detnan. Shabbat shechadisha be'av betocha, the week of Tisha B'av, asur lesaper ulechabes, chamishim mutar mifnei kvod Shabbat. So you're not allowed to launder your clothes or get a haircut during the week of Tisha B'av, unless it's a Thursday, in which case you can in honor of Shabbos. V'tanya, and the bride that said regarding this Mishnah, kodem zman zeh ha'am matim be'iskeim, before Tisha B'av, the week of Tisha B'av, then people should limit their business, melisav v'melitein, they should sell less, they should buy less, livnot v'nitosh, they should build less, they should plant less. And they're allowed to get engaged during the week of Tisha B'Av, but not marry. And they can't do a feast of engagement. So, what do we see here? We see that during the week of Tisha B'Av, you're not allowed to launder clothes, but you are allowed to get engaged. And we know that during the Shloshim, contrary to the Shiva, you are allowed to launder clothes. So, Kavachoma, they should be able to get engaged. So, why does obviously say that you cannot get engaged during the Shloshim? That's the question. And we're answering, no, you misunderstood the Braita. Right, they didn't say you can get engaged during the week of Tisha B'Av. Say you can get engaged kodem, before the week of Tisha B'Av. But during the week of Tisha B'Av, you can neither do laundry nor get engaged. So there's no kal v'chomer. Amar Rava, kodem nami kal v'chomer. No, there's still a kal v'chomer. Uma b'mkom she'asur lisav leiten mutar la'ares, b'mkom she'asur lisav leiten no din she'mutar la'ares. So just say, the period before the week of Tisha B'Av, right, let's say from Rosh Chodesh. You're not allowed to do business, but you are allowed to get engaged. During the Shloshim, you are allowed to do business, so Kal V'chomer, you should be able to get engaged. So there's still a problem with Rabbi Yossi's statement. So Gemara explains, Lo teima de Rabbi Yossi omer, kol nashim itarsu. So we just have to reinterpret Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi didn't mean that all women can get engaged. Ela ema kol nashim yinasu. He said all women can get married. Now it makes sense. All women can get married, but in the Shloshim, you should not get married. But of course, you could get engaged. Okay, but now we have a problem with the first half of his statement. If Rabbi Yossi was talking about getting married, lately Rabbi Yossi lavchin. We just discussed over the last few pages the idea of havchana. They need to wait 3 months before they get married. So we know if the child that's born is from the first husband or second husband. Does Rabbi Yossi not have this concept of levchin, of telling apart where this child came from? And so my answer is lately. You're right, he does not. Ibai tema, alternatively, could explain. Lelam etle, it's possible that he does have this concept. Ve'ema Rabbi Yossi omer, kol arusot grushot inasu. When Rabbi Yossi said, when we explained just now, the Rabbi Yossi says that all women can get married. He didn't mean all women. He meant all women who were engaged and then got divorced. Right? Because if the husband died, so they have to wait 30 days. And if they were married, then we have to levchin. But if they're only engaged, then now they can remarry immediately. Because if they're only engaged, they didn't have any babies. Ihachen Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, but that seems to be just the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that preceded Rabbi Yossi. So what's the difference? Eka benayun nesua leches. The nafkin between the two opinions is, can a married woman who got divorced get engaged? So Rabbi Yossi has a gzera, just like a married woman cannot get married because of havchana, so she can't get engaged either. Rabbi Yehuda does not have such a gzera. So Rabbi Yossi nesua sura leches. Do you really think that according to Rabbi Yossi, a married woman whose husband divorces her cannot get engaged for 3 months? V'atanya, Rabbi Yossi domer, kol anashim tersu chus min almana b'pnei ebul. All women can engage except for the widow because she has to wait 30 days. Kama ebul shela shoshim yom, fine. V'kulam anasu at shiyu lehem shusha chodeshim. And all women have to wait 3 months before they get married. So how do we fit this braita with our new interpretation of Rabbi Yossi? Hai maikushia, so what's the problem? So first of all, this first half of the statement, right? That all the women can get engaged, and we just said that according to Rabbi Yossi, all women can get married. But that's not any more difficult than the Mishnah itself, which also said that. So we reinterpret the Mishnah as that when it says Kol Nashim Tarsu, it really means all women who are engaged and then got divorced can marry immediately. So that's what we'll explain the Braita as well. All women who were engaged and then got divorced, so there's no need to leavchin, they weren't having babies anyways, so they can remarry immediately. So why is this bright a problem? And let me say, at the end of the bright is a problem. All women cannot remarry until they wait 3 months. So we have to say, the end of the bright is talking about, right, if an engaged woman who got divorced can remarry immediately, so who has to wait 3 months? A woman who's married. A woman who's married and then got divorced has to wait 3 months. So we can be medayek. In Subir Delo, Haitusa Shapirdami. She has to wait 3 months before she gets married, but she can get engaged immediately. And that contradicts what we said above, that the difference between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yossi, a woman who's married and is then divorced has to wait 3 months for engagement. But this practice says she has to wait 3 months to get married, but she can get engaged immediately. So, contradiction. Amarava Taritse Mahachi, you can explain thusly. Rabbi Yossi Omer Kol Usot Gushot Inasu. So the first half of the sentence we explained, any woman who's engaged and then got divorced can remarry immediately. Chutz min almana mipnei ebul, v'kam ebul shel shoshim yom, unless it's a widow, she has to wait 30 days of avilut, fine, whatever. V'nesuot lo yitarsu ad shelim shosha chodeshim. Okay, and just instead of the bride saying, women should not remarry for 3 months, just write, women should not get engaged for 3 months. And then everything fits. Fine, so now the Gemara attacks this from a new direction. All this time we're assuming that we can understand that Rabbi Yossi is talking about women who are engaged, right, who can remarry immediately after they get divorced, but if the husbands die, so they have to wait 30 days. Who says is avalut over someone you engaged to? If your wife is not married to you, she's only engaged. If she dies, so you don't have a status of onen for the first day of avalut. And if you're a kohen, you cannot become tameh in order to take care of her. And also, if you die, she does not become onen for that first day of avilut. And she, if she's a kohen, she cannot become tameh to take care of you. And if she dies, you don't inherit her. But if you die, she does get her ktuvah. So there's no concept of avilut for women you're engaged to. So understanding that Rabbi Yossi is talking about engaged women doesn't work. So we have to go back to our original understanding, right? What was pshat? The pshat in the Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi says all women can get married. Right? No, what was the original statement of Rabbi Yossi? Sorry. The original statement of Rabbi Yossi was all women can get engaged. We want to interpret it as getting married. We said it doesn't make sense. So, Rabbi Yossi's original statement was all women can get engaged. We had a problem that we had a kal v'chomer, right? Why did Rabbi Yossi say that women in avilut cannot get engaged if they are allowed to do laundry and stuff? How is it different from the week of Tisha B'Av that you can't do laundry but you can't get engaged? So, look at my answers. About that, those hilchot Tisha B'Av. So this braita says, already from Rosh Chodesh, people should limit their amount of business, building, planting, getting engaged, and marrying. And the week of Tisha B'Av, people cannot do laundry or get a haircut. And some say, also that is from Rosh Chodesh. So this braita equates doing laundry and doing business with not getting engaged. So there's no kal v'chomer, right? The problem was that we found a period where you're not allowed to do business or not allowed to do laundry, but you're allowed to get engaged. And then we asked, why does Rabbi Yossi think there's a problem with getting engaged during the Shloshim? But here in this part, we see that those things go together. The same periods where you can't get engaged are the same periods where you can't do laundry and do business. So there's no kavah chomer and no problem with Rabbi Yossi. Matkif la ravashi, mi maidi la res res mamash, di mamad sudat erosinu de asur. Halar shapirdami. So Ravashi says, why does this bright to support your claim? Maybe the bright is not talking about getting engaged. Maybe it's talking about just doing a feast for the engagement. That actually getting engaged is allowed, and there's still a kal v'chomer. So when I says it's a bit of a strange suggestion, if you think when the bright says getting engaged isn't getting engaged, just doing a feast, so maybe when it says getting married, it doesn't mean getting married, it means doing a feast, but actually getting married is allowed during the week of Tisha B'Av. It's a bit of a strange suggestion. So Mark explains why it reached this conclusion. How can you compare? Getting married, even without the feast, has a lot of happiness involved, and therefore is prohibited during the week of Tisha B'Av, or even from Rosh Chodesh. But just getting engaged without a feast doesn't create that much happiness. So that's why I've actually thought that the Bright is talking about the feast of Erusin. But actual Erusin is allowed during this period, and therefore there's still a Kal V'Chomer, which contradicts Rabbi Yossi. So how do we have to explain this? So Rashi explains there's no contradiction to Rabbi Yossi. There's no Kal V'Chomer. Right? Just because during the week of Tisha B'Av you're allowed to get engaged, that doesn't mean that during the Shloshim you can, because Tisha B'Av is Avlut Tishana. It's an old Avlut, or remembering destruction from long ago, as opposed to your husband dying now, which is Avlut Chadasha. Additionally, this is between Avlut Echid and Avlut Rabim, right? Taking part in the Tsar of the Rabim is important, but it's not as acute, it's not as powerful. As opposed to a personal mourning, which is a lot more powerful, and therefore you cannot get engaged within 30 days. Fine, we have concluded the discussions of Havchana and waiting 3 months and 30 days and so on and so forth. Back to Hilchot Chalitza Nibum. Matitin, Arba Achin, Nisuim Arba Nashim. So say there were four brothers, met four women. Vemetu, and all four brothers died, and there were a few more brothers. So of the remaining brothers, the oldest can choose to do Yibum for all four. If someone had two wives and he died, so obviously doing Yibum to one of them exempts the other one. This is what we've been working with for the entire Masechet, but the Mishnah only writes it here. If of the two women, one is Kasher Kunan and one is Pasul, so it's better he do chalitza for the one that's already pasul kuna, and yibum for the one that's still kasher kuna, and not cause more women to be pasul kuna by doing chalitza to the one that's still kasher.